Just in from public policy polling based out of Raleigh, a new survey of North Carolina voters showing where we stand in the 6 months leading up to 5 months now leading up to the 2020 election. Three big races on the ballot, of course, U.S. President, Governor, and U.S. Senate. All three surveyed by PPP this week. Joined on the phone by Tom Jensen, the director of public policy polling, to discuss the results. Public policy. PolicyPolling.com is their website, and you can find more on Twitter at PPP Polls. Tom, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron, good to be with you.
So I'm teasing the North Carolina survey, but there's another survey that's out as well of Michigan voters that we'll talk about in a couple of minutes. But let's start with North Carolina, obviously a swing state for the presidential election, two very high profile state level races on the ballot as well for governor and Senate. Starting with the presidential race, where do things stand and how has the race changed in the last month, if at all?
Well, we found Joe Biden with his biggest lead in North Carolina this year yet. He has a 4-point advantage over Donald Trump at 49-45. 7 weeks ago, we had Biden up just by 1 point, and that's generally what we've had is Biden ahead, but by a smaller amount than this 4-point lead that he has now. And that's reflective of what a lot of polling across the country has been showing this week, sort of in the wake of everything that's gone on in the country over the last week and a half. I think a lot of people sort of wondered, is this going to help Trump? Is it going to hurt Trump? Who knows what's going to happen? So far, it looks like the answer is that it's hurting Trump. There was a Monmouth national poll yesterday that had Trump down by 11 points nationally. And this North Carolina poll actually goes along with that pretty well, because Trump being down 11 points nationally is 9 points worse than he did in 2016. And us having Biden up by 4 in North Carolina is 8 points worse for Trump than what he did in North Carolina in 2016. So there's a pretty consistent picture between those polls, both when it comes to what's going on in the whole country and what's going on right here.
Considering just how tumultuous a time it's been in the last 3 months between COVID-19 and obviously all of the discussions and demonstrations around racism and policing, it's been really I was going to say it's been really surprising to me, but you and I have had this conversation before. It's no longer surprising to me that Trump's approval rating hasn't changed very much at all. Like, it hasn't gone up, it hasn't gone down. It went up a little tiny bit when COVID-19 started and then went right back to where it was. And this just sort of underscores what we've said before, which is everybody in the country at this point is just locked into their opinion of the president, whatever it is. Is there a historical referent for this? Is there a time in the past when everyone in the country has just been this locked in on their opinion, whether it's about a particular person or an issue, and there just has been no fluctuation either way, regardless of what happens?
No. I mean, I imagine if you had polling back when George Washington was president, he probably always had a pretty high approval rating. It probably didn't move very much, although who knows, maybe they got mad at him about some stuff too. But I think this all goes back to a conversation that we had a good number of times, 2017, 2018, 2019. Mm-hmm. You said, well, what would it take for Trump to actually have his approval numbers become good? And I said, well, it would take a huge national crisis. I said something bad would have to happen for Trump's numbers to get better, because we'd have to have a huge national crisis. I said something along the lines of 9/11, not anticipating that we could get a very different and even worse sort of crisis. But that was predicated on he would use this crisis as an opportunity to unite the country around his leadership. So he actually got the opportunity to bail him out that we talked about for years, and he just totally blew it. He was going to lose 3 months ago at this time. He was going to lose even before COVID, and he was given this opportunity to get back in the game, and he just completely blew it. So I just think it's fascinating to me that we had this conversation so many times about what it would take for Trump to get back in good standing, and he got the opportunity, as terrible as it is for the country, he got the opportunity to bring up his standing, and he just blew it. If he would have handled this like a halfway normal person, probably be favored for re-election now, but he's not capable of acting like a halfway normal person.
And we know that this is the case because we're seeing that with governors, right? We've seen governors' approval ratings that have also been very consistently 40, 45, 50, depending on the governor, whatever it happens to be. But in COVID-19, like, those governors' approval ratings really jumped up big time because they all responded like you would expect a governor to do.
Yeah, and that's very relevant to the North Carolina governor's race. I think that assuming Cooper does end up getting easily reelected, I think this is going to get lost. But this really had the potential, the governor's race here, to be a close race. Last summer, we were finding Cooper ahead of Dan Forrest by 4 or 5 points. And I always felt that Cooper was likely to win, but I also never felt like it was ever going to be that much of a blowout. And then he has handled COVID-19 by most voters' accounts very well, and that's gotten him to the point where we have him up by 11, and some polling has him up by as much as 27. So if you just go by our numbers, he got a 6 or 7 point boost from his handling of the virus compared to where he was before this whole thing started. If Trump had conducted himself in such a way that he got that same 6 or 7 point boost, he would have gone from being down by 4 or 5 to Biden like he was before this all started to being up by 2 or 3. But again, he didn't do it. So some people are getting that bounce and some people aren't.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com, the website for more information. Again, you can also find more numbers and analysis on Twitter at PPP Polls. So those are the first two high-profile races in North Carolina, Biden with a 4-point lead for president, Cooper with an 11-point lead for governor. There's a closer race for U.S. Senate. Tom Tillis, the Republican incumbent, Cal Cunningham, the Democratic challenger. Where does that stand?
Yeah, we find Cal Cunningham with a 2-point lead, which is a little bit closer than what we had had in earlier months. We'd had him up by 5 to 7 points in our last two polls. But I think those polls were done sort of right in the wake of the primary, where Cal Cunningham was running a lot of TV ads and stuff, and Tom Tillis wasn't as visible. So I think he got a bit of a bounce from that that's now sort of receded back to the mean. Cunningham being up by 2 points is actually consistent with where we had this race a year ago at this time. So it's sort of come full circle to where it started out. And really kind of a surprising number of undecideds, or not necessarily surprising, but just more undecideds than you see for a lot of races, 16% of voters still on the fence. The good news for Cunningham is that the people who are undecided are voting for Biden and Cooper. So if they end up deciding to vote Democratic across the board, that's going to be a little bit of a boost for Cunningham. So I still think of it pretty much as a toss-up, but I think it tilts a little bit in Cunningham's direction. And we've talked about this before, there's a very good chance that North Carolina would be the 50th Senate seat for Democrats, which combined with winning the presidency would give Democrats control of the Senate. So it's a pretty good argument that the North Carolina Senate race is the most important Senate race in the entire country.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, and again, you can get more on these numbers at publicpolicypolling.com and on Twitter at PPP Polls. So turning to the other survey from this week, Michigan, another very important swing state with the key Senate race in addition to the presidential race. Where do things stand there?
Well, we found Joe Biden leading by 6 points, and that's, of course, a state that Donald Trump narrowly won last time around. Our polling during COVID has been very consistent in Michigan. We've had Biden up by 6, 6, 7, and 8. And sort of at the early stages of this, Biden was only up by 3. And then as people got more and more unhappy with how the president was handling the whole crisis, Biden grew his lead up to this 6 to 8 point range that we've consistently found him in. The most straightforward path to the presidency for Biden is to take back Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, all of which Hillary Clinton lost by about 1 point last time around. So she lost all three, but by an incredibly close margin in all three. In addition to our finding Biden up by 6 in Michigan this week, there was a Fox News poll last night that had Biden up by 9 in Wisconsin. And usually when you talk about that Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania trio, Wisconsin is viewed as being the hardest one for Biden to win. So for him to have a 9-point lead like that in a Fox News poll is pretty good news for him. And then the alternative for Biden as a path to winning the Electoral College, if he does happen to lose Wisconsin, is to win Arizona instead, sort of a Sunbelt strategy for Democrats. And Fox News also had a poll last night that had Biden up by 4 in Arizona. So I think if the election was today, it wouldn't be very close. I think Biden would end up with a number of electoral votes in the mid-300s, kind of comparable to what Barack Obama did. Bad news, of course, for Biden is that the election is not today, and who knows what will happen in the next 5 months.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, so those are the numbers from North Carolina and Michigan specific state level surveys. As we start wrapping up this conversation, obviously the issue that's on everyone's mind right now, and it's a set of issues related to racism and policing, and also the many demonstrations that have happened in the last couple of weeks. I know neither of these two surveys spent much time touching on that particular issue, but what are you seeing in terms of how Americans in general are reacting to all of the news that's happened in the last couple of weeks, and then the larger underlying issues beneath them?
Well, I think the most interesting poll I've seen came from Civics, which is a pollster that's sort of a subsidiary of Daily Kos. And they've been tracking on a daily basis for 3 years public opinion towards Black Lives Matter as a movement. And they found over the weekend Black Lives Matter spiking to its highest level of popularity ever. And for the first time ever, having a plurality of white voters say that they had a favorable opinion of the Black Lives Matter movement, and not just voters of color saying that they had a positive opinion of it. So that was a pretty dramatic finding. I think, you know, a lot of people were maybe expecting a white backlash because of all the protests, and it actually seems like the opposite of that is happening, which is very interesting. And then just more generally, I think people are saying that they support these protests, that they think what happened in Minneapolis was really terrible, and that something needs to change.
Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com, the website. And again, find him on Twitter at PPPpolls. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.